פשוט כל הכל הקודש הזה מנוי מרמנה דאבר. We're all at a tremendous loss over the terrible massacre of Kedusha Elyon in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. It seems like all the Gedarim that we knew of, everything has been shattered. Anoshim Kedoshim in a Makom Kodesh, a Beis Medrash, during the Zman Kodesh of Tefillah, wearing talis and tefillin. Mamish Shaluk Derech HaTeva. But if you think about it, really, this could have happened so many times, every day. Anyone been into Yerushalayim, all the Batei Medrash are open 24-7, there's never security. The enemies are mamish right there. But it never happened before. Never happened before. You know why? There's a special Shmira. Klai Yisrael has a special Shmira in the Beis Medrash. Bechlal, but Befrat in the Beis Medrash. At the end of this week's parasha, Rivka sends away Yaakov to go run away from Esav. She runs. On the way, he's running away. On the way, he stops off at Beis Medrash Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years. And Esav doesn't find him. And the famous question is, if you were looking for Yaakov Avinu, you wouldn't search the Beis Medrash. If you were searching for Rabbi Yashiv, you would go to the Shuk, the store, you would go to the Beis Medrash. So Esav can't find Yaakov in the Beis Medrash. When, on a visit to Miami, the Lakewood Yeshiva Mokhil Cutler said, Pshat, that Esav knew exactly where Yaakov was, he was in the Beis Medrash. But Esav can't get into the Beis Medrash. Esav has no Yad in the Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash is an oilam b'fnei atzmai. It's a makam shmira. Esav can't get into Beis Medrash. So that's why these things don't happen. But it did happen. Hashem is talking to us. Our special shmira is being taken away. And we have to do something about it. What more than this can it take to awaken us to tshuva? We have to seize the moment, the Hisiris, to better ourselves in whatever area. Every person knows, Adam Yidam Aras Nafshay, whatever it is that a person can improve in and do tshuva, but we have to do tshuva. Before I call on Rabbi Luban, I'll just share with you one machshava. A few years ago, there was a maisa in Lakewood Yeshiva, there was a bachur who was nifter in the Beis Medrash. At that time, the Mashgiach, Rav Matzisio Salman Shlita, said from the Ramban in last week's parasha that a chelik of the midah keneged midah of something, of an event or of a maisa that happens, is the place that it happens in. The makom, not just the way it happens, but the makom in which it happens is a chelik of the limud, a chelik of the midah keneged midah. So he said then, if something had happened in the Beis Medrash, then we're supposed to think about the way we behave in the Beis Medrash. Part of the tikkun is what we do in the Beis Medrash. If we want to keep Esav and Yishmael out of the Beis Medrash, we have to improve our behavior in the Beis Medrash. We could all use the chizuk in tefillah. Tefillah is when we speak to Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to mischazik ourselves in tefillah. Today, this afternoon, we're making a special tefillah, Yom Kippur Katan. And during the Yom Kippur Katan, someone's phone went off. I was about to turn around and say, is it going to take 100 more people for you to turn your phone off when you're davening in the Beis Medrash? Whatever it is, we have to be mechazik ourselves in tefillah. Hashem is talking to us. We have to talk back. We have to take the opportunity to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, daven with intensity. Tell him that we understand that the solution to this is not going to come from Obama, Netanyahu, anybody else except from Borei Olam. And we have to respond and take the opportunity to to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell him that we have bitachon in him. At the end of the parsha says, the famous pasuk, when Yitzchak sees Yaakov, he says, kol Yaakov, yadayim yidei Esav, Chazal say, kishakol Yaakov mitzavtev, medrashos bavatek nesias, en yadav shel Esav sholtois. It's in our control, we can do something about it. If we all, maybe all be zoyche taka, to be nesor to tshuva, and be zoyche to Yeshua, so not chamais, bevias kol tzedek meri amenu. We've asked the Rish Koyl from Miami Beach and the Rish Shiva here to give us a little bit of perspective on the events, and we thank them very much for joining us, and it's our cover to call on Rabbi Rubin.
Very difficult to know what to say. And in thinking, I thought it would be appropriate, rather than say something myself, just really to say over, read, and maybe be explained, perhaps be marchiv, something that's written in the Sefer called Mibeis Avraham. Mibeis Avraham is a Musar Sefer written by one of the Gedolei Ador of the previous generation, lived before the war, after the war. His name was Rav Avram Prinzkis Grudzinski. He was a nephew of the famous Avram Grudzinski, the Mashkiach of Salboka Yeshiva, Tiras Avram. It says here in the title page that his father was killed in the Hebron massacre in 1929. It says later, it mentions his brother, his brother-in-law, his sister-in-law was also killed. And in the end of this piece, Sefer, he has a piece of what we can learn out from the Shoah. And while I can't compare, and I'm not, every tzara is different, but many of the limudim that he says that we can learn out from the Shoah apply very much to this present situation. So he has six limudim, and I just want to go through them and perhaps give a few tzeiros on what he says. Before I begin, I want to start, though, with an introduction, which is also something he mentions. I used to hear this very often in Eretz Yisrael from Rav Lezer Pleshinsky. Rav Lezer Pleshinsky was a son-in-law, grandson of the Alter Salboka, son-in-law Rav Ari Levine, brother-in-law Rav Yoshev, very choshve gadol. And he used to, when he was talking about the Shoah, he would always quote the pasuk in Tehillim by it says, "Gam ki eidech begeitz amoves lo ira ra ki ata imodi shivtecha mishantecha hema yinachamuni." And he used to explain it as such. I do not know if it's his own parish or it's a medrash, but he used to explain it that it's referring to a sheep who is going together with the flock, and the entire flock with the shepherd, Shemroi, is in Geis Amavis. They're in the middle of the desert. They're on cliffs. There are wolves. It's very dangerous. And they're not scared because their shepherd is with them. What happens? One of the sheep gets lost, separated from the whole flock. And now that sheep finds itself all alone in Geis Amavis. He hears the wolves, he sees the cliffs, and it's dark, doesn't know where to go, and that poor sheep is petrified. It's sitting there, shaking, scared. Meanwhile, the Roya had realized that the sheep is missing. The Roya, the shepherd, went to search out the sheep. He found it, And the Raya takes his stick, shiftecha, mishantecha, and he gives the sheep a whack to direct it in the right direction. He said, when that sheep felt the whack, the stick of his shepherd, on one hand it hurt tremendously. It was like he gave him a gazunta whack. But on the other hand, he says it was Hema Yenachamuni. It was such a relief. Because he understood that now he's not left to the Derech HaTeva of the wolves and the Tzkei Samoves, but he's in control of his shepherd. And Rabbi Blazer Pashinsky used to say, that was Pshat Neshaya. He used to always say, I heard him at least 10 times, probably more than that, he used to say, what did the Germans have against my father and mother? What do they have against my brother? He says, the Germans, they were in the middle of fighting World War II. He says, does it make any sense? World War II, they were the question of controlling the world. What could be a greater, more important drive, goal? You want to be the army that controls the Europe, the whole world, basically. And if you get defeated, you're finished. You're destroyed. You should put all your energy in trying to win the war. Instead, what did the Germans do? They spent some of their mental energy, physical energy, their soldiers, to search out. He says his parents lived in some little village in the middle of Russia, middle Russia, and in the probably beginning of Russia, but they lived. He said there was no road to get there. You had to go through the woods and to go ahead and days just to find them, to search out every single Jew. He said it made no sense. The answer is it was Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided the Yisurim of Klal Yisrael, that was Hashgacha. And Hashgacha can hurt sometimes. It can be very, very painful. It can be sometimes more painful than Derech HaTeva, because Hashem can give a gezunta whack. But on the other hand, it's Hashgacha. And there's a certain Nechama too. And that changes the perspective. And it used to say that all the things that happened to Klal Yisrael, especially what you see today, it's blatant hashgacha. You have the fact that that Israel was established. What could be more hashgacha? He says that everybody for 1,000 years, perhaps more, the Christian world and the Muslim world are fighting over who's going to control Eretz Yisrael, the Crusades, back and forth. Where did the Jews, after World War II, they were in World War II, they were the dirt of the earth, and no one looked at them. No one would even lift a finger to save them, and then all of a sudden they give them Eretz Yisrael. Made no sense. He says the fact that the brachas that Klal Yisrael has, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they became one of the so wealthy, many people in Klal Yisrael, the Torah is growing, is a tremendous bracha. It's all shkacha pratis for good. But there's hashgacha pratis for bad too. And that is just as nicker hashgacha pratis. Because Klal Yisrael doesn't follow the rules of Teva. When something is tremendous, it's either tremendously good or it's tremendously bad or it's both. But it's not normal. And obviously the tzara we have in Eretz Yisrael today, in a sense, yes, what can be done? What can we do? Seems hopeless. Wow. Can you think of a solution? But if it's believed that it's hashgacha pratis, and they don't have to think of a solution. It's hashgacha pratis. Kosh Baruch Hu created and Kosh Baruch Hu made this problem, and Kosh Baruch Hu can solve the problem. And it's a different attitude. We have to go with the attitude that these tzaras are, if anything, they're a raya to our emunah, because things don't happen to Klal Yisrael like they happen to the rest of the nations of the world. No other country in the world, this little teeny country, is in the news more than anyone else. It's hashgacha pratis. Klal Yisrael is unique. They're special. And their specialness is seen in when they get rewarded, and it's their specialness is when they get the Einshem and Saris. That is perhaps the introduction of the perspective that we have to start to look at it as hashgacha. The next thing that he says here in this sefer that he stressed, he's going really in his order, is he talks about the mitzvah of being mishtate b'tzar. There is a mitzvah. It's a very chomer mitzvah. You have to be mishtate b'tzar shel chavero. There's all kinds of halachas. When people have tzar, even though it doesn't affect you, you seemingly, you think it doesn't affect you, you think you're safe, you're in a different country, the problem, we don't have these problems here in America, whether it's rightfully or wrongfully, whether it's a mistake or not, can be argued, but a person can feel that way. What does this have to do with me? So there's a concept that a person has got to be mishtate bitzar. It's a very chomer halacha. And it's not just an avoda of the lev, which it is, largely. There's in a sefer Yoni Musar, Rabbi Zion Bruchtzau, he tells a story that during the, in the 1948, since he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he says before the British left Eretz Yisrael, so everyone knew that the British were going to leave. They had a date. And everyone knew that when the British leave, the Arabs are going to attack. And al biderech hateva, it was hopeless. Because the Arabs had armies. The Arabs already had, Jordan had a regular army. They had weapons, they had training. The British loved the Arabs. They gave the Arabs all their weapons and their fortresses. And the Jews weren't allowed even to own weapons. And they had no army, there was no training. And what they were doing, at least something, is they had secret ammunition factories where they were manufacturing some kind of weapons secretly without the British knowing. And there was such a factory in Yerushalayim, and they were manufacturing weapons. So it came a little bit before the time the British were supposed to leave. And the person in charge of the factory called the workers together and says, I know many of you are Shomrei Shabbos, you're religious people, but you know, everyone knows Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, so we're going to start working 7 days a week because we must have this ammunition to fight the Arabs. It's Pikuach Nefesh. Paskin de Shaila, everyone agreed, except he said for one person who said, I also agree, but before I agree, I want to go ask my rabbi. So he went to his Rav, and in a split second, the Rav said, Chatz v'shalom, it's Aser. So he said, what about Pikuach Nefesh? So he said, Pikuach Nefesh, what time do they close the shop every day? They take a lunch break. They close at 7 o'clock. Work till 9 o'clock. Work till 12 o'clock. Work till 1 o'clock in the morning. And you don't have to be Mechal on Shabbos. So Rav Brook wrote a whole shmooze on this story. He says, how come only this Rav was able to realize such a pashuta thing? It's not Pikuach Nefesh. You just work an extra hour. You work 2 hours extra during the week. You make up for all the time on Shabbos. So he said, because the other people didn't really care. They might even have been Shomer Shabbos, but they didn't care so much. When you don't care so much, it's very easy to say, I'm honest. Honest is the easiest excuse. I'm an honest. Nothing I can do. You meet a non-from person. Oh, I wish I could be Mekar of him. I'm an honest. I see someone needs help. Oh, I wish I could help him, but I'm an honest. What can I do? People need help in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, it's a problem. I feel terrible, but I'm honest. Can't help him. He says, but if you really care, then your brain works more. You stop to think. And very often you realize you're really not an honest. Very often you realize there's something you can do. So what he's saying here is if we're first thing is we're after mishtate bitzar. The truth is the halacha mishtate bitzar is even if you mamish can't do anything. But it's very, very likely that if we would be mishtate bitzar, we would come to realize that perhaps there is some things we could do. And of course, the question is, what can we can do? And it was mentioned, the most obvious thing is we say, if we believe that it's Hashgacha Pratis, and we believe that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu coined the shots, and it's working, it's not Al Pi Derech HaTeva, then the solution is not, as was mentioned, necessarily politically, you know, that's not the real solution. A person may have to ishtadlis, not belittling ishtadlis, but that's not where the final solution will be. But the real final solution is working with mima'irer, the rachme Hashem, the chesed el yom, getting more schusim. And it was mentioned, the chazal, a kol kol Yaakov, with this week's parsha, that if we Koko Yaakov, the Medrash says clearly it means davening, but the Medrash also says it means learning. So Avdavka davening. It's Koko Yaakov is learning, and it also means the converse, avoiding Lashon Hara. Chavetz Chaim is very strong on that. It was Sinas Chidam that brought the Chorban. so that the schus that we have, the ability to protect, is through Kol Kol Yaakov. The Das Kenim, and this week's parsha says Beferish on the Pasuk, HaKol Kol Yaakov, Yadayim Idei Esav. He says the Pasuk is contrasting Yaakov's power to Esav's power. He says Esav's power is Yadayim, has to be only here. You can only do Yadayim, maybe now they have missiles, but basically you have to be nearby. But the Kol, he says, can go anywhere. You don't have to be nearby. Kol Kol Yaakov, you can be in America and a Kol Kol Yaakov. We don't have to be in Eretz Yisrael to go ahead and make a difference. There's an Alshech, which is maybe a little scary. The Alshech said, we sometimes think, okay, but we have an excuse. He says on the Pasuk, it says that Esav said, Yikrivu Yimei Evo Avi. Esav, it says, after he went ahead and Yaakov took from him the brachas, says that he wanted to kill Yaakov. But he said, I'm going to wait until Evo Avi, until the days of Avedas of my father. So what shot? Why is he waiting? So the Alshech says the following shot, that during Yimei Avedas, Yaakov can't learn. Yaakov is also in Talmud Torah during Avedas. Esav says, Kozman, that Esav is that Yaakov is learning. It's not Avedas. I know I can't do anything to Yaakov. But as soon as Yaakov stops learning, it's going to be Avedas. Yikrivu Yimei Evo Avi. Yaakov Avinu is going to be in Avedas. Then I'll be able to kill him. She's a little bit of a thing here. It's not just, you know what I mean, Yaakov's in Ines. He's not learning. It's not because he's battling. It's not because he's going out and playing basketball. He's doing a mitzvah. He's doing avedas. He's not allowed to learn. But it doesn't make a difference. If they're not learning, you don't have the protection. You don't have the protection of Torah. Then already Esav has the ability. The only way that we can go ahead and protect Klal Yisrael is through Torah. Mentioned there was I heard from one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael that around 30 years ago there was a deal in the government, which has obviously came up much more recently, about the drafting yeshiva students. And they had a meeting with the government officials and the Rosh Yeshivas. And Rav Chaska Avramsky, who was one of the Gedolei Ador at that time, got up and told the government officials that al pi derech hateva, there is no way that that Eretz Yisrael can survive. It's not Shaykh. He said this already 30 years ago. He says, you're surrounded by Arabs. They have a much more larger population, more weapons, armies, unlimited people. They have the wealth. There's no way Abidera Chatev Eretz Yisrael can survive. Except through the schus of HaKol Kol Yaakov. Through the schus of Torah. He says, if you're going to draft the yeshiva Bachrim, then you're going to lose the schus of HaKol Kol Yaakov, then Eretz Yisrael cannot survive. So if you want to draft yeshiva Bochrim, I'm paskening halacha the ma'isa that it's usher to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he told them, the frum Jews are going to listen to my psak, they're all going to leave, because that's my psak. If the yeshiva Bochrim are going to be drafted in Eretz Yisrael, then it's usher to live here, because al pi derech hateva, you're not allowed to put yourself in a makom sakana. And the only reason why Eretz Yisrael is not a makom sakana is because of the Torah, which Baruch Hashem still is. Tremendous amount of Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what gives Eretz Yisrael its protection. You know, one of the reasons we sometimes daven and we are perhaps... one of the reasons perhaps we don't daven is we daven and that we don't feel the tefillah's worked. Look what happened. It shas a tefillah and people were killed. There is a sefer, Minchas Nosen, from one of the Talmidim, was one of the members of the Chazon Ish Kodol in Bnei Brak, who he was here in Florida and he left in the yeshiva his sefer. He had a yeshiva in Beersheba for a while. So he writes there, he has it's a sefer on Kedushin, and the back he writes Maisim that occurred with him together with Gedolei Yisrael. And he says that when Rav Schneur Kotler was Nifter, he was walking with the stipler at the Levaya. And he said to the stipler that, oy, so many tefillahs. Rav Schneur was Reshiva of Lakewood, which was probably the biggest yeshiva in the world. His Talmidim are all over the world. He says, everyone in the world was davening for Rav Schneur. He says, so many tefillahs, and it didn't help. So he said, the stipler stopped him. He says, Chas v'shalom. Can't say such a thing. He says, of course the tefillahs helped. He says, it didn't help the way you expected it to help. But of course it helped. It could be it helped for one of, if it depends who was davening and why they were davening. If the family was davening because they wanted the father, so it didn't help to give them the father, but maybe it helped to save the mother. Maybe it helped to save a brother, a sister. It helped partially. If a Talmud was davening because he wanted a Rebbe, so it didn't help for this Rebbe, but he'll have at least a second best Rebbe. He'll get another Rebbe who's maybe not as good, but almost as good. If Klai Yisrael was being davening because they needed a Godot Ador, so Klai Yisrael will get a different Godot Ador. Again, maybe not as good, but almost. The Tzvidas, a Chazal, it's a Medrash, and the Tzvidas don't help totally, they help partially. It's a haftacha, it's a guarantee. There's no tefillah which is chayzer reikam. It doesn't mean you'll get fully what you ask for, but partial. You'll get partial what you ask for is guaranteed, and the more you dive in, the more you get. It's not shot, I dive in once and I was yaitzi. We have that Moshe Rabbeinu was Eschanan El Hashem. Chazal said he was Mispado, the Gematria of Eschanan, which offhand I don't remember, but it's a number of hundreds. Anyone help me? 515. That means he went ahead and he said over the same tefillah 515 times. It's not the first time he had kavana. It's not like he was nervous that he didn't have kavana the first time. But he did it 515 times. And Chazal said that if he would have done it 516 times, then he would have been answered. But Hashem said, no, you had to stop. Hashem told him to stop. Because it was a cheshbon why he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So 515 is not enough. It has to be 516. There's a cheshbon in the number of tefillahs. But a 515 definitely helped again for something. It wasn't shot that the tefillahs didn't help. It didn't help for exactly what he was asking. But it helped for something. If he would have done 516, he would have gotten into Eretz Yisrael. He would have gotten everything. So that tefillahs, we have a haftacha that tefillahs help. And it's the same thing here. It was mentioned. The Rosh Kodesh mentioned it. On one hand, we devastated. It was a terrible tragedy. On the other hand, you look at how many nisim we had the during the summer. How many missiles were fired into Eretz Yisrael, and none of them hit Kamat. I don't know if anyone hit, basically, one hit. I said one child, I think, was killed. But Kamat, besides that, the hundreds of missiles, and almost no damage. It was amazing. That's not al pi derech hateva. So the tefillahs and the schusim of learning, tremendous helping. And amai, it's obviously not enough. We have to do more. We have to dive in with more kavana. We have to add more tefillahs. We have to add the quality and quantity has to be more. But the tefillahs definitely help. And that's our we believe that. And if something is hashgacha pratis, it goes ahead, and it's definitely that the tefillahs and the schus of learning and the schus of mitzvahs can help. He continues in the sefer. Not with another point, which is perhaps not a little bit more difficult to say over. But he says it, and I like to repeat it. He says there's another few limudim, he says, that we can learn from this show. He says the first limud is to hear how the goyim, the Germans, yamach shemam, were such behemoths. Chayas Reis. And on one hand, it gives us a feeling of, you know, Baruch Hashem, Shabbat Harbanu, Mikol Am. We were not do that. On the other hand, he says it's also a pachad, that it means that person, that a human being has those koiches. It means that if we go away from the Torah, that it's, we don't, a person can sink to such a low level. So there's a pachad. Person, you know, Yirei Shamayim has always a pachad. Who knows what could happen? So that, he says, that's his one point. Then he has another point. That is, besides the pachad, then it's a simen. What a human can sink to. It can also be a siba. That when you're surrounded by behemoths, there's a tendency to become a behemoth too, at least a little bit. Don't believe we would ever sink to the level of the chayas rais that are around us, but a little bit. And he said, there's hashpah. We have a pasuk in the Torah that Klai Yisrael were suspected of being mushpa from because they were in Mitzrayim. That because they saw the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim was hashpi on them. We have in this week's parsha that it says that Rivka and Yitzchak felt were bothered by the Avodah Zarah that they saw from the Nishay Esav. But Rashi says before, the Chazal say that Yaakov was bothered more than Rivka. And the famous Shmuz, many people point out why Rashi says, why? Because Rivka was used to it. What was she used to it? She saw it by her father. She says, when did she see it by her father? She said she left her father when she was 3. And this is 40 some odd years later. And this is, maybe more than 40, but it's probably much more than 40. Because but it was years later. And she's meanwhile living with Yitzchak all these years. So 40 years ago, or some more than 40 years ago, she saw Avodah Zarah in her father's home. But what you see affects you. That's a Yisoy Gado and Musar, that human beings, even a tzadekas like Rivka, she saw something, it affects her. It's to some extent, it went ahead and was memayed her hargosha to Avodah Zarah. It's known that Chavetz Chaim was very upset when he saw Chiddush Shabbos. He says he was in, so when he ran away with the yeshiva from Radin. So I think it says that the second week, he said the first week he cried, the second week he said he didn't cry anymore from the Shabbos. He cried because I think he wasn't crying. Because the people are affected by what you see. And he writes this, that we have to be careful that we shouldn't be affected when we see a world full of riches. We have to be careful it's not, it also affects us. And then he has his last point. He says we have to put it in a context of what's happening. He says we believe we have a Messiah, that we're in a time called Ikbasa de Mashiach. And Ikba Mashiach is a very, very special time. It's a very unique time. Ikbasa Mashiach has two things that are very unique. First of all, there's Chevle Mashiach. Chevle Mashiach, where they explain it in Moshel, like a woman who's giving birth, that right before the birth, it's the greatest pain. There's tremendous, tremendous Saras in Ikvasa de Mashiach. And it's scary. And he says that we have to hear that the Shoya was Chevle Mashiach. And I would assume that likewise, any tzaras that continue b'zman hazeh, that are continued, should all be derech hateva, are some form of continuation of Chevle Mashiach. I heard from the Binyan Olam Zatzal that he quoted his Rebbe, Rav Hominer Zatzal, that he said that he doesn't know, he says it's efshir that we were yotzei Chevle Mashiach mainly. He says it could be the Shoya was, we were Yotzei Chevle Mashiach, and now they're just like a little bit of remnants left. We don't know, how have I, that should be true. We don't know. It could be that he said that it's possible that the Shoah was Yotzei, the Iker of Chevle Mashiach. But there's still, and there's a context that to hear that this isn't, again, it's not just coincidental. There's a Cheshbon. Chevle Mashiach comes with a reason. It's something, and it's something that you have to be careful about. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Sholo Talmida v'Shrevo Ozer, Ma Yasa Oda v'Inotza Mechevlo Shemashiach. What can one do to be safe from the Mechevle Mashiach? And he says, Yasok b'toyra gemilas chasadim. The Chafetz Chaim, in numerous places, I believe, says, why does it say Yasok b'toyra gemilas chasadim? Should have just said Yasok b'toyra, Tamat Torah keneged kulam, Hakol kol Yaakov is Torah. Doesn't say there gemilas chasadim. So the Chafetz Chaim said, an amazing shot, he said that, Ein ochinami, in Lomdes, all you need is Torah. But Rabbi Ozer didn't trust his own Talmidim that they would do Torah properly, to be protected from Chevlei Mashiach. Because to do a proper Torah and davening is not so simple. So he said you had to add another dimension. You had to add a dimension of Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim is called Merachim Awabriyas. Merachim of Min Hashamayim. It's a special, special schus that Hashem treats us with rachmanis. If we go ahead and are ba'alei chasadim, so Hashem, so to speak, bends the rules. So even if our bidin, our Torah, is insufficient, and if our bidin, our davening, is insufficient, but if we add to the Torah gemilas chasadim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's midah keneged midah. So the Chafetz Chaim says pshat that if we do Torah, if we're gemilas chasadim, Hashem will have extra chesed to us, and it'll be done that our Torah is sufficient. So therefore, to be nizar in the chevlei Mashiach, he says you need Torah and gemilas chasadim. But besides the Yisurim of the Mashiach, which we quoted, this Rav Heimler, who said that Hawavai, he says he didn't say himself for the Bavadoyas, that he said that the Iker of the Yisurim of the Chevlei Mashiach is hopefully passed with the Shoah. But there's another dimension of Chevlei Mashiach, of the Ikvas of the Mashiach, which has definitely not passed. And he said that is, there's a tremendous nisyonis in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. This is where the final testing, this is the last test. The last test is always the hardest. Avram Avinu had this 10 nisyonis. The 10th nisyon is the hardest. There is a pasuk in Dvarim that tells a parsha about if a Navi Sheker comes and he gives an ois of my face, uboha ois of my face. So the Mefarshim asks, I heard this from Rav Zeidu Epstein, he said over from his Rabbeim, and I believe he quoted it from the Gra, that he said that he asked the question, we don't find in history that it ever happened that a Navi Sheker came along and gave an ice and a mighty face, and it happened. So what is the Torah writing a Parsha for something that never... It says, if a Navi comes along and brings an ice and mighty face, well, don't take it serious, don't be worried, because Hashem is being menace, Hashem is testing you. It never happened. Why does Hashem have to write it? So he said, it never happened, but it will happen. He said, before the Mashiach comes, a Nisayan, in the equivalency, that doesn't mean Mamish, this exact Nisayan, but the Chomer Nisayan of Mamish miracles seeming to contradict the Torah, he says, will happen before the Yemos HaMashiach. So that this is the final testing of the Yemos HaMashiach. There's a special, before the Mashiach can come, Klai Yisrael have to pass to prove that they have the Olivim as Hashem, to prove the Yira Shamayim. And he continued, the Binyan Oidam, he quoted, he said that it says in the, I think he quoted the Zohar, the Talmid de Baal Shem Tov, he quoted, that what is the final test that exists in the time of Ikvas and the Mashiach? Is we find in the Chumash that the final test of Klai Yisrael in the Midbar was Benos Moav. What was it? Before they went into the Geula of Eretz Yisrael, they had the Nisayan of Benos Moav. So what was the Nisayan of Benos Moav? Besides being tremendous Taiva, that they came with Taiva, they also had a form of doing Avodah Zarah. What was the way they did the Avodah Zarah? They basically went to the bathroom in front of the Avodah Zarah. It was being a total behemoth. That was the Yetzirah of the Benos Moav was to give in, to have no restrictions. Don't be a mensch. You want to go to the bathroom? Bedafka for your Avodah Zarah. You go and make on the Avodah Zarah. You want to be Mizana? Whatever you want. He says, that is the Yetzer Hara of the Ikvus of the Mashiach. And therefore, he said, it's not surprising that the Goyim today are acting like behemoths, because that's the Nisayan of this door. The Nisayan of this time is to be a behemoth. It's to be a behemoth. It's ruach of being a behemoth. And if the Goyim act of behemoth is part of the Nisayan of Klal Yisrael. Because if you're surrounded by behemoths, then you also feel a certain desire to be a behemoth. It's good, to let it loose, you know, get a little drunk, let it loose, be free, you know, why be able to act, to give out, to do whatever you want to do. So he said, that is a nisayan of the ikvus of the Mashiach, that we're surrounded in a world where we're surrounded by behemoths, we're maybe surrounded by behemoths in suits, but the world is full of acting, whether it's in the priesthood, whether it's in the internet, and it's not just in Eretz Yisrael, it's in America too, and obviously in what's going on with the what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, we're surrounded by people who are acting in the lowest manner, with no concept of etzal medokim, no chashivas of what an adam is, a nivra b'tzalem, no respect to other human beings, and no respect to themselves. And the nisayin of the ikvus of the Mashiach is we have to retain our chashivas, etzal medokim. We have to retain our chashivas, not to let ourselves be mushba when we see how other people trample on a human life. We have to instead treat others with the most sensitivity and care about people, because everyone is b'tzal medokim. It's a special to hear what the goddess Adam. So therefore, I say what it comes out is that we have to go ahead and understand that whatever happens is hashgacha. And instead of causing a rifyin and perhaps yish, it should cause a chizak and amuna, because it's like we see hashgacha pratis. The fact that you see hashgacha pratis for bad is still hashgacha pratis. And should be mechazik. And if it's hashgacha, then it means that we can do something. It means that it's one hand it's scary, because if it's hashgacha, then it's not just okay in the teva in Eretz Yisrael, they have a problem. If it's hashgacha, then who knows what could be. If hashgacha wants us to be, then it could be chas v'shalom anywhere. If the problems are from hashgacha, from the kuz, and we're explaining it because of from the some perhaps residue of chevrei mashiach, so it's hashgacha. So therefore, we have to go ahead and act, and we have the ability to act, with Kol Yaakov, whether it's davening, as mentioned with Mor Kavana, whether it's learning, even if we think we have a good excuse. Excuses might get out of the Yiptur of Talmud Abitul Torah, but it's not going to protect us. It's not going to give us the Kedusha we need. We have to go ahead and be mechazek, the davening, the learning, be mechazek, the carefulness in avoiding the Lashon Hara, which is metamtein the Lashon. And in general, we have to go ahead and be oimed in the Nisayan of being Etzel Medokim, of being in the time of the when the world is acting like total behemoths, that we have to go ahead and recognize our innate godliness and to continue to act in a manner of machsheh of people, and machsheh of ourselves, machsheh of our koiches, not to degrade others and not to degrade ourselves by acting in a manner that doesn't that is lacks of kavod ha'adam. And by doing so, even though we might not understand how or what, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can easily solve all the problems. We don't know a solution, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an easy solution. And if we, by doing so, Be'ezat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us a solution and the Gula Shleima. Amen.